Are you sick and tired of your calm, peaceful life? Are you sleeping too well at night? Is your city too safe? Well, not anymore. Introducing Democrats. Politicians so incompetent, they'll fill your neighborhood with riots, looting, rampant violence, and even homelessness. The secret is a special blend of corruption and good old-fashioned stupidity. No more pesky law and order. When Democrats are in charge, nobody's safe. Simply vote for Democrats, sit back, and watch your neighborhood burn to the ground. But wait, vote for Democrats now, and they'll include rolling blackouts, election fraud, cancel culture, taxes, and more taxes. Democrats, bringing chaos right to your front door.
What's happening, my friend?
Hey, welcome in. Travis, and this is Mike.
That was for you. That was for you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. That was, you really know how to get me stirred up for the beginning.
At least I put a smile on your face.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So,
what's happening?
Hey, you know,
are you going to tell me that they took that clip and they took all the talking points and you could apply it to the Trump White House?
I could probably reverse it. That was good. Are you at liberty to say where that came from?
I don't know the source of it or who put it together, but my mom's husband sent it to me in an email chain. I just got it. It actually has a video that goes along with it. If we were sophisticated and had video production, I could put it up, but wow. I figured you'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. I take it you haven't heard that.
No, I have not heard that. So that's good. So what's on your mind today? You hearing noise?
No, do you?
No, that's my desk.
Oh. Sorry. No, I feel terrible though. I had, we talk about this all the time about, you know, the crazy world that we live in and what COVID and government overreach does to all of us and our mental state. Yesterday I was driving, I had to run an errand and I was going slow on the city street. I was approaching a green light and up in front of me at the cross section, I could see a car who was going to turn right, you know, to merge onto the road I was on. And obviously they had a red light. I had a green light. And I was going either at or just below the speed limit, kind of creeping up to decide if I was going to make the light or not. And this person on the other side decides to wait until the very last second to come out in front of me and got very close to me. And I slammed on my horn and then I passed the car on the left. And as I got close, it was this old lady and she looked so scared and she swerved the car and she like jolted inside. And I thought I was going to give her a heart attack. I felt terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
And then I took off as fast as I could.
Well, you know, wow. It was so, I mean, one thing I think we can all agree on here in California in the LA area that when the pandemic was at its, high point and people really were in their houses, it was nice driving around. For those of us that are essential business people and have to go someplace, it was sweet. I mean, there was no traffic and it's all back now. I drove to Hawthorne, California today.
Yeah. And it's like regular traffic. Everybody's back on the road.
Yep. And there was no shortage of dumb shits.
I'm not surprised.
I know. It's just another one of those things. Like I just don't take these trips that often. And so I had to run up there kind of unexpected. And the video is distracting me. I don't know if you can see that. That's crazy.
Looks good on you.
Oh, look. So at any rate, it was nuts to see just how bad people are driving now that traffic's back. It's kind of aggressive out there.
That's what I'm saying. Where we've been cooped up for so long that we kind of got used to that and we've lost all sense of humanity and nothing in the news is good. It's just, you know, more terrible by the day. In fact, right after we finished recording last week's episode, we already knew some of the things we were going to discuss on this week's episode because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I think the news of her passing happened basically right after we recorded. So, I mean, you can't escape certainly the news of that and everything that's happened this week and all the mudslinging that goes along with it from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw a post on Twitter yesterday.
Should we say that we're on Twitter now?
Yeah, we are. We're on Twitter.
At Couch Funeral. We're there on Twitter.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was you.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I was poking somebody. What did I say?
Yeah, something about why you reposted something about, you know, how it's not right that Trump is rushing to fill the vacancy from RBG.
And, yeah.
I think I responded with something along the lines of, because it's exactly what the Senate Republicans said at the end of Obama's term. So, I mean, that's the discussion, you know, that's going around. So let me pose a question to you to get things kind of rolling here.
Pose it.
So in view of what the Republican Senate said at the end of President Obama's term, when he had several months to go, and he put up, was it Eric Garland?
Merrick, I think his name
Eric
was.
Eric Garland, yeah. So,
because that's a good name.
At any rate, they did not give him a hearing or do anything and said, hey, it wasn't appropriate, that, you know, it was too close to the election. So having said, and everybody's familiar with that, and then we've all seen the videos this week, I assume, of shitheads like Lindsey Graham, who's another name I couldn't think of in a prior podcast, but you know, he's the one, and his fantastic. And this is the one we should get. Well, we'll get it for the next podcast. Lindsey Graham saying, hey, you can use
Graham, not grain.
Huh?
Graham.
Lindsey Graham. Graham. Right, like Graham cracker, right?
I know. It's your Chicago accent. Gets me every time.
You know, I've only been to Chicago once. I wasn't there long enough to pick up
an I know. Accent. I don't know where you get it from.
I might have got herpes there, but not an accent. So, yeah. So here's my question to you. So do you think this is right that they're rushing to fill this
Listen,
seat? I mean, shouldn't they be waiting until the election's over and then let the next president make the nomination? I mean, it wouldn't kill anything to let the seat go open for a couple months.
Here's what I always say. If you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. And if you think about it, I believe that we're only having this discussion of because of what happened in 2016. But the reality is, why should there ever be a question as to a sitting president making an appointment to the Supreme Court? Because that's the president's job.
There should never be a question. There shouldn't have been a question last time.
Okay, so really what we're saying is we're completely changing the rules and we're having this conversation and all this fighting.
They changed them.
Okay,
changed them.
But not really, because here's the difference. If you want to know specifically what I think about that point,
yeah.
Didn't the Republicans control the Senate? So what difference would it have made? Did Obama have the votes for Garland? I don't think so.
Well, we'll never know.
We do know. That's what they were saying. That's what I believe they were saying is, hey, don't waste your time putting this guy in front of us because you don't have the votes. So he's not going to be appointed.
Merrick Garland was widely considered the next in line for the Supreme Court on a bipartisan basis. And he's by all measure conservative. He wasn't even a political choice for Obama. So look, I don't want to start off on such a tough note, but
start it off. Be a Debbie Downer.
There's no fucking way that's right. It's not right. It's just not right.
But here, again, go back to the issue at hand. What we're talking about is that, hey, Trump shouldn't appoint a person now because why? Because Obama didn't get to in 2016. Who gives a fuck? That's one example in the last 240 years. That's Come the on. President's job. That is the president's job, is to give a name. The Senate, their job is to allow for a hearing and then vote accordingly.
All right. Hey, look,
so why can't I ask you?
I asked you, so it's only fair. You're coming down on the side of this, and that's okay.
As I always say, I try to come down on the side of common sense. And if we didn't have that example, here's what I honestly believe. If we didn't have that example of 2016, I do think the Democrats would be saying the same bullshit that they're saying now, which is we should wait until after the election for no other reason than it's Trump, and he's already appointed two people, and they don't want to give him a shot at adding additional people because then they've got to be the bad guy and, you know, stack the deck on the court and do all this other bullshit. But the reality is, this is the sitting president's job. So, you know, this, I agree with you. In 2016, Obama had his pick. The Senate, you know, their job was
to... It was February.
Okay, fine. But he was a lame duck president. We already knew he wasn't going to run again. We didn't know the party that was going to win. In fact, everybody...
He was the president.
I get it. And so the Republicans in the Senate, the entire Senate, should have allowed for the hearing. I don't disagree with you. But what I believe happened is they were saying, you don't have the votes, so this isn't going to happen anyway.
Have I mentioned how much I hate the fucking Republican senators?
No, say it again.
I hate them. They're fucking, this is the worst group of senators I've ever seen put up by the Republicans. I mean,
they're all terrible.
The worst.
All of them.
They're not all terrible.
They are.
No, they're not.
It is. They're all terrible. Say it again.
Yeah.
Do it. Say it again.
I don't care.
Come on. I mean, here, that's the reality. And here's, you know, there's examples of that. Sleepy Uncle Joe. I got a tape of him where he's saying, I don't know when this is, a couple years ago, where he's saying that's the president's job. Do you want to hear it in his own words?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
So he did say, and I do have the tapes. Let's hear him.
Let me ask you about the Supreme Court. You chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee for 8 years, so you know very well what it means when the Republican-controlled Senate sat on the nomination of Merrick Garland to fill that ninth seat on the court, sat on it for almost 10 months.
First time ever.
Once the president-elect, the then-President Trump, chooses someone, should the Democrats do the same thing and oppose and refuse to go along?
No.
Or should they, thinking you need to fill that vacancy on the court?
I think they should. Look, the Constitution says the president shall nominate. Not maybe he could, maybe he can't. He shall nominate. Implicit in the Constitution is that the Senate will act on its constitutional responsibility of giving its advice and consent. No one is required to vote for the nominee, but they, in my view, are required to give the nominee a hearing and a vote. I spend my policy since I've been in the United States Senate, and I presided over more Supreme Court nominees than anyone in history, anyone living. And never once, even the ones that I've disagreed with, have they been denied a hearing. And so I think the Democrats should not take up what I think is a fundamentally unconstitutional notion that that Republicans initiated 10 months ago. I think they should see who they nominate and vote on them.
I hate to say it. I think we both agree with them.
Yeah, but having said that, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, I mean, Trump should make his nominee, whatever, whenever, I don't care. But then those two fuckards should then say, hey, since it's so close to the election, we're not going to take this up till after the election. That's what they should do. And if they don't do that, then fuck them.
You missed the most important.
They're just hypocritical fucking liars. And I'm sugarcoating it because we're on the podcast. Okay. I'm telling you right now.
Hey, there's no censors here. You know, the most important thing about that tape, did you hear how much better he sounded? I think that was 3 years ago. He actually could put together a sentence and he wasn't reading it.
Who do you think's got a better chance of making it through the election alive? Who's got a better chance of falling down as he's walking on or off stage?
You mean beside you?
Yeah, besides me. Well, I'm going to fall down. There's no doubt about it. But when Joe gets on stage, he virtually skips up the stairs to get on the stage. I mean, the guy's in pretty good shape. I mean, I've never been in that good of shape my whole life, except maybe a long time ago.
I've seen you with your long hair and your shirt off.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this thing about him being decrepit or something, it's Trump. He's a McDonald's, KFC, gorging piece of shit and fatter than hell.
You know, I saw the funniest thing. I think it was James Corden who put this up somewhere that he had a bunch of pictures of Trump and he said, seriously, the only time I think Trump is genuinely happy is when he has food in his mouth or on his plate in front of him. And he had a bunch of pictures of like cheeseburgers and whatever. And he has the biggest grin and he really does. He looks very, very happy.
I think that's probably true. I mean, because he doesn't care. I mean, nothing else gives him any pleasure. It's not like doing something for somebody else has any interest for him. He couldn't give a shit less about anybody but himself.
So, well, the Democrats will say that he takes pleasure into squashing the small guy, right?
You know, I don't know. I mean, he's just his pathology, his complete lack of empathy, his inability to give a shit about anybody but himself. I mean, it's just all these things that just make it so bad. I mean, you know, it's kind of like beating a dead horse.
But, you know,
we all know.
Go back to Joe's tape there. I think he's really kind of saying what we're both saying, which is the president shall nominate and the Senate shall provide the opportunity for a hearing. And both of those things should happen. And it should have happened in 2016. And, you know, I mean, now, what do you think personally? I'm asking you, do you think Trump shouldn't pursue this at all? Should he not pursue it until after the election, but still remain, you know, he's got his term until January? What do you think? Give me your opinion.
I think this time I am not disappointed and will not be disappointed if Donald Trump doesn't do what's right. and I don't think anybody expects him to. We have a really low bar for Cheeto, but I think that McConnell and specifically Lindsey Graham, I think that they have an obligation to handle this the same way they did 4 years ago. And they're not doing it because they're lying fucks. Is that clear enough?
Yeah, I heard you. But that's not what I asked you. I said, what do you think? Not what do you think is going to happen, not where's your crystal ball, but what do you think we should do as a country?
Well, I think we should vote.
Oh, here we go. I know what you're going to say.
We should vote Trump out and put in a more liberal justice to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
What about the talk of, and I don't know if this is just posturing or if these are actual strategies, but the talk about impeachment, if Trump pushes this ahead, that they would possibly impeach him, or if the
let's talk about Trump being led out of the White House at the end of a rifle held by a U.S. Marine. That's what I'm waiting to see. When he cries, hey, I'm not going, this is rigged, I don't like the ballots, and then some member of the armed forces takes him out at gunpoint. That's the part I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, well, and of course, that's been tossed around too lately, that you know, whether or not Trump will accept the results.
Once he's lost the election, here's the thing. So why does he have any power right now at all? Because as long as he's the president of the United States, he has the ability to take any one of those chicken shit senators, Republican senators, and crush them between his fingers like this. See on the screen what I'm doing? And just,
I thought you were playing a small violin.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Just crush them and throw them out. And they all know it. As soon as he loses the popular vote, that power is gone. Then he no longer holds any sway. And whatever this is that's been happening in the U.S. Senate and with the Republican Party will instantaneously evaporate. He will no longer have any power whatsoever. And that's what I think. And as far as the question you asked me, I don't give a shit, really. Here's the thing. The more important
thing. You're so emotional about it.
Yeah. The more important thing that we're not talking, because really, I don't expect there to be, I expect them to put in and confirm a conservative Supreme Court justice to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is a crying shame. It's just not good for the country. It's not the right thing to do. They will do that. It will happen. So, you know, you didn't want crystal ball, but there it is. That's what they're going to do. That's what this president and this Senate are going to do. Even if they have to do it.
Because that's their job, by the way.
Yeah.
Huh? That's their constitutional duty to do it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. The more important thing that we're not talking about is that Trump has completely stacked the federal judiciary with conservative judges. So that's way more important than this Supreme
Court. Well, let's get into that for a second, because here's what I think is important. If you want to say that's a bad thing, which I don't think it is, but let's say that it is a bad thing, it's only because of time. And the fact that these justices died on Trump's watch. So as the sitting president, his job is to make these appointments. And first there were two.
You mean for the Supreme Court?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's possibly going to be three justices that have been replaced in this president's four-year term. That's probably unprecedented. I don't know. I'm not a historian. Somebody can check that.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. But the fact is, if Hillary had won, the same three justices in the same four-year period would have been replaced. And what the fuck do you think she would have done? So to say that this is some maniacal plan and he's going to deliberately put the conservatives in there, well, of course, that's his party. So, but the other side would have done the same thing. So there's no evil plan, or this wasn't a conspiracy. This is the way it worked out.
Yeah, there is an evil plan.
What's the evil plan?
So McConnell and his ilk, his like, his people.
Just call him Fox. That's your favorite word.
Yeah, it is. And they refused to let Obama fill 140 some odd federal bench positions. And so, you know, they didn't do what they should have done and confirmed his appointments during his presidency. And so because of that, and that was wrong. Okay, it might be legal, but doesn't make it right.
I agree.
And so Trump comes in, and that is their maniacal conspiracy plan to stack the federal judiciary with far right wing justices. And they've been successful at it. And that's why that's a lot more important than the Supreme
Court. It didn't have to be this way, though. It didn't have to be this way.
Yeah, but you know what? When these guys are out, when they lose this election and they flip the Senate, then what's going to happen is the revenge that they're going to take is they're going to get rid of the filibuster and they're going to put 15 justices on the Supreme Court,
which is a terrible idea.
And then they're going to have Biden or Harris or whoever's whatever Democratic president is in place fill all those seats.
Right. Exactly. Right? And they're going to create more states with Puerto Rico and D.C. and presumably get four more.
Now, that might be what they do to postpone the that was just a proposed action you could take to stall the Senate, you know, try to get them away from the nothing is going to change. Nothing. You can propose making Russia the 51st state if you want. And that's not going to get this Senate off confirming a conservative judge for the Supreme Court. And I get it. I understand.
But are you saying, I mean, here's what I like to get back to basics and grounded, which is I think that, and you said it, what are they going to do about it? Are they going to continue the mudslinging? What happened to your party's, you know, Michelle Obama? When they go low, we go high, right? Where is that? I mean,
well,
so the reality
low.
Is you're backed into a corner and you're not going to accept defeat and you're going to do whatever it takes.
She said it not too long ago. When she said that, it was incomprehensible how far down in the fucking gutter they were going to go. And so now that they
now they're all in the gutter.
The worst things that I can tell you that the Democratic controlled Senate would do to get revenge for this horseshit is still high compared to the Republican behavior over the last 4 years.
Well, but that's changing, apparently. Obviously, nothing's off the table. We got Pelosi. You want to hear her? Can you handle it?
Oh, jeez.
Let's let her roll.
You've been waiting.
Even if Joe Biden wins on November 3rd, even if Democrats win, pick up seats in the House and maybe even the Senate. So what can you do then? Some have mentioned the possibility if they try to push through a nominee in a lame duck session that you and the House could move to impeach President Trump or Attorney General Barr as a way of stalling and preventing the Senate from acting on this nomination.
Well, we have our options. We have arrows in our quiver that I'm not about to discuss right now. But the fact is, we have a big challenge in our country. This president has threatened to not even accept the result of the election with statements that he and his henchmen have made. So right now, our main goal, and I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would want that to be, would be to protect the integrity of the election as we protect the American people from the coronavirus.
That's such a, I love that term, henchman.
I know.
And it's just better when, she should just call him fucks, like what you say. Him and his fucks.
Consider those words interchangeable.
So, clearly they're angry. Maybe not as angry as you.
No, well, you just caught me on a very angry.
That's good. You can't always be happy.
Yeah, it's not good. But
I think that was a George Stephanopoulos, or however you say his name.
I watched that live.
Well, did you see the other part of that? I pulled this clip too, where I don't know what the hell's going on. She seemingly like pulls a Joe Biden and loses it. Did you watch? Here, listen to this clip.
Go ahead, play it.
But to be clear, you're not taking any arrows out of your quiver. You're not ruling anything out.
Good morning, Sunday morning. We have a responsibility. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. We have a responsibility to meet the needs of the American people. When we weigh the equities, protecting our democracy requires us to use every arrow in our quiver.
You should have seen the look on his face when she did that. He was like, what's happening? Are you having a stroke right now? It was pretty bad.
I don't think as a rule people listen to her, you know, talk that much. I mean, we get her when there are issues like this. We get sound bites on newscasts. A little more. I heard a pretty long form interview with Pelosi with Kara Swisher. That was interesting. She's just kind of got an odd way of speaking.
Well, she's also 100. And it was Sunday. Maybe she had mimosas already. I don't know.
And she's, she'd already had her brunch. So,
what do you think about an age limit on these people?
She's the most powerful woman in American politics of all time right now.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. It's just an amazing thing.
And she's coming up with some crazy shit, I guess, to defend herself and her party against the evil orange man.
She's too smart. She is too smart to give away any game plans, rather they be, you know, if you expect her to say, oh, no, we would never do that. I mean, she's not going to do that because that's.
Well, listen, first of all, it's 2020 in the age of whatever this is, social media, instant gratification. any and every plan they have is going to be leaked, and maybe they want it that way. Maybe they want their plan to get out so, you know, people can get behind it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What other conspiracy theories are you pushing this?
I'm not pushing any theories. I'm just thinking out loud. No theories well, here.
I was listening to one of the other podcasts, and it's just something about you're like, and that was part of it. It's like, okay, the crazy shit that the Democrats are going to do to stop this nomination, like consider statehood or put another, I mean, they could impeach Trump every week, as far as I'm concerned.
Of course they wanted to. They've been wanting to impeach him since before he got elected.
Yeah, I mean.
Which means they have no credibility.
I mean, if you want to defend this completely amoral way that this nomination is going to be handled by the Republican Senate, led by Mitch McConnell, with, hey, it's their right. They can do it. They should do it. And fuck all the stuff they said it 4 years ago about this exact same situation, only this is much worse. This is much closer to the election. If you want to, then, you know, how can you possibly take the other, even if you're playing devil's advocate, dude, how can you possibly take the position that anything the Democrats would do to stall this nomination would be wrong?
Well, because now they're going overboard. That's the reality. Now they're going overboard. And I already said, and if I didn't, let me make it clear, they should have given Merrick Garland his chance to be heard when Obama still had several months left in his term, and they didn't. He wouldn't have been, what's the word?
I don't agree with that. He would have been confirmed.
Confirmed, yeah. But I don't think so. But he should have been given an opportunity. Obama's job was to make the appointment, and the Senate's job was to hear him out, and they didn't do that. I disagree with what happened. I'm on your side. So now, fast forward 4 years later, does it make it right to demand that Trump shouldn't make the appointment? No. And the Senate should hear it. And by the way,
that would be fine, except for the outright lying by Graham and McConnell. They pushed that through and lied to the American people about the reasons that they were doing it. And even as went as far as to, hey, you know, you can use my words against me if this happens 4 years from now. Well, it's fucking happening. And now it's like, no, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. It's just bullshit.
I don't disagree with you, but what are we to do? What is the answer? To do nothing? I mean, here's what you're saying. Think of it this way.
Well, here's the answer. Vote both Graham and McConnell out this time. They're both
There's a lot at stake, right?
And they need to be voted out. So,
and we don't know what's going to happen.
Millions of people that are now listening to us, go vote. You know, make sure that those two shitheads are voted out of the Senate.
And that we can both agree with. I will also... Everybody needs to go vote. Just don't vote by mail fraud.
Okay, you finally did it. You finally made me laugh.
All right, good.
Just cut from the part where I got all stressed out and bring it and just come right back.
Yeah,
here.
No worries. But I mean, here's the thing. I haven't even heard a lot about these potential picks other than, I mean, there's a couple of names I think floating around now. And, you know, Trump early on said that it would be a woman, but I don't know much about the candidates. So, but what are we to do? If you can make an argument, or if somebody could actually get to Trump and say, hey, wait till after the election. Well, what does that mean? Does he actually wait till after the election? But what about the time between November and January, whatever it is, 20th? And also by doing that, isn't he basically admitting defeat? You know, if I wait until after the election, the only reason for waiting would be because why? I mean, because there's going to be a change of power. That's the argument. There's going to be a change of power.
If he is defeated in the election, then he should not make an appointment.
I agree with you there. But he should make the appointment now, and the Senate should hear, and whether or not this person is confirmed or not.
You know,
if they get one person through and it doesn't get confirmed, then put it to rest until after the election.
In a calmer, you know, now that I feel a little calmer, let me say that the thing that's got me so irritated about this is their excuse 4 years ago was that it was too close, 10 months out, was too close to the election, that the people should have their say about who the next president is going to be, and then it should be made. And that exact set of circumstances should be happening right now.
Listen, those idiots should have come up with a better plan.
Huh?
I agree. Those idiots should have come up with a better plan and, you know, something else to say, because that clearly has come back to backfire. And the people did have their say, Mike. Let's not forget, the people voted for Hillary by 3 million votes. But we don't have a democracy like everybody wants to think. We have a republic. And so that's the way it went down. The people had their voice. The people had their say. They chose Hillary.
I'm just saying that they should be handling this exactly the same as they did 4 years ago. And they're not.
Well, the only argument is that they here's what they're saying, or what's implied in their message, is that we expect Trump to lose. Therefore, we don't want him to railroad down this third pick.
That's
of his
the Republicans' message?
No, that's basically what the Democrats are saying. Right. If this was a
what the Democrats are saying right now, remember who's the liberal side of this conversation? The Democrats are saying that this should be handled exactly the way it was handled 4 years ago. That's what they're saying.
Yes,
and that's all
I'm saying what's implied in the messaging. The only reason that Trump should wait is because they believe there will be a change of power and therefore he shouldn't make a last minute pick before he's ousted. Well, that remains to be seen. We don't know that. We don't know.
You don't know what?
We don't know what the results are going to be.
No, we don't.
I mean, we know because we've got money riding on it.
You know, listen, and if you're, and you're, I can tell you right now, you're a lot more confident he's going to win.
I'm not. I'm really not. I mean, the more I try not to get, no, I'm not changing, but I do believe that you shouldn't get wrapped up in the polls because we saw what happened last time.
Can you not see him losing his shit because he knows he's losing?
I don't
know. Can you not see Trump losing?
I don't know about that.
Right now.
I don't know about that. I'm not in the inner circle. And everything that you're saying is from the mainstream media, which you can't trust anything they say. So I don't know. You got to dig deep to really find out what's going on. Here's what I honestly believe, though.
I can listen to the, I can watch Trump on TV with the sound off on any channel you want and tell you just looking at him says, his face says, I'm fucking losing.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. I think he's just, you know, he wants a cheeseburger. He's hungry. He wants to get off stage and get his cheeseburger.
Is he hangry? Is that what this is all about?
I think he's hangry. Yes.
Is he taking us over the fucking cliff with all this stuff because he's hangry? Is he going to start a war?
I don't know.
Try to win this?
I mean, I hope not.
You're worried that they're going to try to, that the Democrats are going to stage another impeachment or try to make Puerto Rico a state, which it should be anyway, to try to stop that thing. But what you really should be worried about is that he may start a fucking war with somebody, and we have no allies left, by the way. So he may start a war to get everybody's mind off, you know, him losing the election. I mean, that is so within the realm of possibility. I don't even know how to tell you. There is nothing that is out of the realm of possibility with this guy.
Did you hurt yourself on that stretch? Because that was a pretty bad one.
You know,
come on. That's ridiculous.
I did enjoy that. What, did he would start a war?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not even your peeps. I haven't seen that. See, I try to anticipate maybe where you're coming from. So I don't read my I'm a good Democrat's talking points paper every day. But I try to, like, you know, peruse it a little bit to see where you're coming from.
I'll start forwarding it to you.
Thank you. Put it in my inbox, would you? But I think here's what I honestly believe. You asked me if Trump looks nervous. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in his head. But what I honestly believe is that this time around, 4 years later, after the 2016 election, when we clearly know from facts that you can't believe all the polls, I believe there is this sleeper cell. I think there are more people who are going to vote for Trump this time than are making that publicly known. I'm not saying it's enough to win the Electoral College. I'm not saying it's more than it was 4 years ago, but I am pretty convinced it's more people than are making it publicly known. How much is that? I don't know. And will it make a difference? So I think that's what he's hanging on to. I think that's what he thinks is going to get him over the edge. There's shit all over the place. I mean, every story, every state, you know, Trump's neck and neck here. He's losing here. He's behind in women there. I don't know. And it could change, you know, and it probably will change daily. I don't think he thinks that way. And as a competitor, because if anything, you know, that's, I think, the way he views himself as a competitor. And if anything else, this is just a competition. He wants to win. So I think.
Do you think he's got any more October surprises like the Bob Woodward tapes?
God, I hope so. We need material, man. I mean, he's never a dull moment with this guy. I believe that.
I mean, you know, he's his own worst enemy. How did somebody put it the other day? He is self-destructing constantly before our very eyes. Even when things go good, he can't take it. Then he's got to say or do something that is self-destructive again.
You know who put it that way?
Who was
it? Your people in the mainstream media. That's a fake story. He's not self-destructing. He's right where he wants to be. He loves this shit. He met, we said this last week, he met with the people in California, and my favorite Trump quote of all time, where he said, I don't think science knows what it wants. I don't think science agrees with you. He'll say anything.
Best quote ever. Do you have that handy?
No, I don't, but it was the best one ever. Yeah. I do have Trump for you. I mean, we, you know, talking about the election, here's the other thing I really fear. I mean, the reality is we kind of, you know, go back and forth, and, you know, I try to get under your skin, which I think I'm doing a good job of today.
Today.
But what I think is also a very real possibility is, will we know the results on November 3rd? And a couple of months ago, you started hearing that rumor or that, you know, question of that possibility. And I thought, well, that would be kind of strange. I mean, what was it, 2000, I think, Bush and Gore, that dragged on for a little bit. But man, this could be even worse. It could go several months. So I think the talk about whether or not Trump will accept the results, will he know the results? Will any of us know? Well, that's a real possibility. I don't know. But here's Trump on the results.
You a good loser?
I'm not a good loser. I don't like to lose. I don't lose too often. I don't like to lose.
But are you gracious?
You don't know until you see. It depends. I think mail-in voting is going to rig the election. I really do.
Are you suggesting that you might not accept the results of the election?
I have to see. Look, is that Chris? Hillary Clinton asked me the same thing.
Can you give a direct answer? You will accept the election?
I have to see. Look, I have to see. No, I'm not going to just say yes. I'm not going to say no. And I didn't last time either.
So he's doubling down there. I think that was maybe a month or two ago.
Chris Wallace.
Yeah, I think
the
that's
only guy
him.
Fox with a shred of.
Well, he's got the. I think he's got the first debate. Chris Wallace until Sleepy Joe magically comes down with the COVID-a, you know, the night before and can't make it.
They haven't changed my mind. I still don't want the debates, but
because you know that's a problem for your party. Listen, can't you come across the aisle a little bit? And why does it always have to be party lines for you? I've said, you know, and the way the Republicans handled things in 2016 was not right. I don't agree with that. But the fact is, in 2020, there should be a fucking debate. And we should get Uncle Joe up there.
But you can't have a debate with Donald Trump.
What do you mean?
He is just, I mean, every word out of his mouth is a lie. He's a pathological liar, and having a debate is senseless.
That's you're not even making any sense. This you're just reading off talking points from your party now. Look, how does it not make sense in 2020 that you have the two finalists for the presidential for the office of the presidency of the United States to not have these people square off and have a debate? And you're right, it's not going to be a debate in the sense that, you know, somebody's going to say something factual and the other party is going to respond to it. They're both just going to repeat their bullshit. That's what they do. That's what all of this is.
So why would I be in favor of that?
Well, why would you be opposed to it? Don't you want your guy out there to go and shine?
Because there's no – having a debate with Donald Trump is not going to get Joe Biden any votes. And I don't care what you think the reasons
are for that. Finish that sentence. It could possibly take away votes because he could collapse on stage.
So could fuckface. He could fall over dead just as easy.
He's the healthiest president ever. Don't you know?
Let's have Trump do a blood test before the debate.
Will Joe do a drug test?
Well, let's see what the Big Mac percentage is in his bloodstream, and then we'll see who's got the better chance of falling over dead during the goddamn debates. I just don't see the point. You know, Trump is nowhere close to Uncle Joe's IQ as far as that goes. Trump is an illiterate, selfish piece of shit, and I frankly don't care what his views are on anything. So I don't want him. I don't want Uncle Joe to. That's my new name for him, by the way.
So I think it's a good name.
I don't want Uncle Joe to debate him, right? If you want to, I think what is it? You know, you're the sports guy, right? So it's baseball, right? Where you can have a designated hitter. I say that we put Pete Buttigieg for Uncle Joe.
He has a designated hitter. It's called Kamala Harris.
Well, she's not, but I think if I'm going to choose somebody, my preference would be Pete Buttigieg. He would shred Donald Trump. I mean, because Donald Trump.
Well, hang on. Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
You tried to make an argument that you can't debate Trump because he's not going to tell the truth. He's going to be spewing lies, and it's just a one-sided conversation. So right. Why would Pete have a better shot at that if Trump is just going to sit up there and spill his bullshit?
Okay, well, you caught me. I don't really mean it. I don't want anybody to debate Trump.
What?
I just think you just shit can the debates and have the election.
The reason why, let me help you. The reason why you don't want there to be a debate is because you know that Biden is not going to look strong. He's going to look weak. Bad things could happen. And anybody who possibly is on the fence of whether or not they're going to vote for him might come away with that. What are there, three debates after three of them and go, man, I don't know about this guy.
I think all of that's true. I mean, I don't think I can argue with you on any of that stuff. There are a whole lot of reasons why I don't think it's a good idea. And the sum total of all that is he should not do it.
But aren't you the guy who's like, okay, let the people have a voice, you know, let us see.
No, I never said that.
Yeah, see, you want to put the best Joe forward and, you know, let him do all these recordings from his basement, not answer any questions.
Yeah, I don't need him to answer any questions. I don't, at this point, maybe this isn't interesting for the listening audience, but let me just reiterate my position. Donald Trump is the most dangerous man on earth.
Well, here we go.
And we need him out of the presidency. He's destroying the United States. He's destroying the U.S. government. He's destroying the presidency. Nothing else matters at this point except voting him out.
Don't you think it's interesting?
And doing anything that is counterproductive to that for any reason whatsoever, I'm against.
I could go down so many roads with you on that statement. Let me just say this. If the most important thing is to get him out, why do you not want Biden, the Democratic candidate, to get up there and shine and show the American people why he's the better choice?
Nobody shines in a debate.
Oh, come on. That's horse shit.
Well,
how many people started in the Democratic debates? Like 37? I don't even know what it was. They had several nights terrible. Because they couldn't fit them all on the stage. And so
all the debates.
Yeah. And guess what? We all got to see who was terrible and who would make a terrible candidate. And we booted them out because they were shit and they didn't get any votes. And if you didn't get a certain percentage, you didn't advance to the next debate. And guess who was one of the early ones? Kamala Harris.
I don't think anybody based any of their votes on anything they saw in the debates. First off, nobody watches.
What do you mean? I don't know how it really works as far as votes or whatever, but as far as they reference a percentage that you need to advance to the next stage, this is your own party's, and they both do it, right?
I don't like that either. I am not in favor of televised political debates, period, for anybody at any time. Every one of them from start to finish is a fucking waste of time.
What are these going to be, like 3 hours?
Huh?
What are they, 3 hours or something?
Oh, I mean, you know.
They'll have bathroom breaks. Don't worry.
My favorite. Just catheterize them, right? Because that's something he's probably used to. Anyway, I mean, he is 70. How old is he?
Which, Biden?
Yeah, 78.
I think he's either 78 or going to be 78 on inauguration day. Maybe. Like, I mean, he might not even make it. God damn.
He's older than Trump.
Yes,
right?
Of course. He's older than everybody.
He's like in 10 times better shape than Donald Trump, don't you think?
Physically, maybe. Mentally, yeah, he's got there nothing go. There.
Mentally.
Just listen to the tape that we played from 3 years ago.
What do you think is in Trump's brain? What do you think is it?
Big Macs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wish I had a visual to somehow in this podcast.
Grab him by the pussy.
That's what's in his brain. I mean.
Has he got a pussy in his brain? That's wrong.
That's what's on his mind, man. Let me go on record.
Debates are coming,
this.
Whether I want them or not. Here's what I'm going to tell you: the debates are coming, whether I want them or not.
Maybe, so unless debate. He, you know, fakes an injury.
Well, I'm going to actually send him an email after this podcast.
Yeah,
suggesting that he, you know, pulls the ACL or something and has to bow out.
I think he's going to. That's a possibility.
Yeah, well, hey, Donald, I'm sorry. I was playing tennis, and because I'm youthful and have vigor, none like you. Someone told me that they go, well, President Trump plays a lot of golf. Doesn't that keep him in shape? I don't know. Have you seen him on TV? I don't think so.
He's actually kind of a good golfer.
Is he?
Yeah. He has good form.
Does he cheat like a motherfucker?
Well, he does, but that has nothing to do with swinging and hitting the ball. He hits the shit out of it. He has a good swing. The mechanics are good. He hits it far. You know, I think he probably cheats and uses his foot wedge a lot.
What a surprise. How many golf courses say you own? If I owned a multitude of golf courses, I might have a decent swing too.
All right, what's your point? He's athletic.
That's right. No, that's right. I don't begrudge him having multiple golf courses, sir.
Let me just say this, because I made this point about Facebook and Twitter and all these places that censor the things that Trump was saying, a lot of it to do with the COVID and facts. And even if he was, you know, retweeting or posting links from valid sources, and then if he put his spin on it, like that CDC report, and he's being censored all over the place. I'm against that. I really believe if this guy is as dangerous as you say and others say, and all of the things that are in his head and coming out of his mouth are so terrible that it's, you know, people can't hear it and it's going to ruin the country, let him hear it. Don't you want to know? And I think that's the truth. Shouldn't the American people see exactly what this guy's about and what he thinks and let them decide? And that's how I feel about the debates. Put these fuckers up there and let's see who's still standing on November 3rd.
Well, you know what? There's a good chance that that would happen, right? That if in the debate, Donald Trump would go crazy, get off script.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So because I swear to God, if he reads... He's the worst reader on the planet, right?
Yeah, he's not that good.
Practically illiterate, so...
He's the second worst reader, yeah, behind Biden. Biden, I think, is a better reader. He just can't keep where his place is on the screen. Maybe it's hard. I don't know. I've never read from a teleprompter, have you?
No.
Maybe it's very difficult.
As you can tell, all my shit is on the fly. Shit on the fly. Look, there's a good chance that Trump will not come off good in debates. He's crazy looking. And I mean, he has some experience. You know, he's not afraid of the camera and all that kind of good stuff. He may or may not. But here's the thing. We don't need the debates to know what a batshit crazy piece of crap he is. We already know it. Everybody knows it. Nobody needs the debates to see it, right? That's all.
But do we know
I can see zero value for my cause, which is getting rid of him, of putting him up.
But do we know that Joe Biden has what it takes? We don't know.
You don't need to be a good debater to run the country.
Well, clearly he's not going to be around to run the country. He's already kind of said that.
As long as Trump's out, I don't really care if he's around or not. Right. I mean, we've already gone over this.
Well, and don't you think that's
not care if Joe Biden makes it through the first 4 years? I don't care.
And that's frightening.
What have I done?
What?
I have run out of care.
You've run out of care. You've officially run out of care.
Yeah. For that subject. He can, as long as the Biden-Harris ticket wins in November, that's all I need. And then we can figure out how to go forward after that. You know, you've got to get past this terribly, terribly corrupt situation. Go ahead. What's next?
No, I'm just listening to you. So, I mean, I think that is a little extreme, to be honest with you. And it's obvious. Has Trump changed
it's
much
extreme
in
that
the
I
last?
Want to get Trump out of the White House. That's extreme.
I think it's extreme. Here is what I was going to ask you. Do you think he's changed much in the last 4 years?
Trump?
Yeah.
No. No.
So.
Didn't he tell us who he was? It's now you play your tape.
He told him by the pussy.
He told us who he was. But if he hasn't changed much in the last 4 years, then why was he not dangerous enough to elect then? Why was he elected over Hillary?
Did you think I voted for him or something?
No, but he's there, right? So it happened. But my point is, if he was so dangerous, are we saying that Hillary was even more dangerous and therefore we had to pick the lesser of the two evils?
Me personally, I'm not saying anything about Hillary ever. So I'm telling you that a whole lot of people were asleep during the last election. A whole lot of white supremacists found their outlet with this candidate. A whole lot of white people that maybe aren't white supremacists, but feel butthurt over the situation because they're not completely on the top all the time now. And
you know, are you saying then or now?
They were, well, then and now, right? I don't think it's changed. I mean, 8 years of a black president drove a lot of white people to the polls to vote for Donald Trump. That's the, I mean, without any hyperbole or anything, that is the truth. And they felt motivated. We only missed keeping this jackass out of the White House by a very, very
small. So where's the motivation now?
Well, the motivation now should be to get this person and this very corrupt president and his administration and his fucking family and all his goonies out of there.
His henchmen.
That's right. To quote, you know, the Speaker of the House, get his henchmen out and
he's a Bulgarian. Know, just
fix
say
the
it.
Fix the Justice Department. Get what's the guy's name? Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
Get that piece of shit out of the Attorney General slot. Fix the Justice Department before it's too late. And I mean, hey, look, it looks like we're going to have to live with these Supreme Court appointees. I don't think there's much we're going to be able to do about it. And more important than that, he has stacked the federal judiciary with a lot of conservative judges. So if you think that's a good thing,
he hasn't stacked anything with anything. He made appointments consistent with his party, as every president has done.
That's fine. That's fine. Again, do I need to explain how that came to pass? I mean, so
Ruth could have retired on Obama's watch, made it easier.
She worked till the day she died.
Yeah.
Through her fourth bout of cancer to try to hold on long enough to prevent this from happening.
And it didn't have to be that way. She could have retired on Obama's watch 4 years ago.
Yeah, but on Obama's, but it didn't, it would have had to been what? 5 years ago.
Okay,
right?
5 years ago. How old was she, by the way? 89?
87.
87.
Yeah, 87. So, you know.
What do you think about the idea of changing it to where these justices don't serve life, a life term?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty antiquated idea.
Why? Right? Well, having him serve life for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think that's.
Hey, I have a list.
Know where we're at on that.
I have a list of all the things I was going to write down where we agree today. So this is number one on the list today.
Okay.
Finally, we have one. We agree that, yeah, they shouldn't serve for a life term.
The longer we talk, the better I feel.
So. I saw the other day that I'm not sure what time period it was. I want to say it was from the mid 60s until now. The average period of time that a justice has served is about 25 years.
Is it?
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
They don't
They don't retire on their own volition too often.
Yeah. They croak. I think that's, if you want to reform anything, I think that's the place to look. I was quite surprised. You know, I told you I finished the Federalist Papers and I started that book for the sole purpose of
getting that quote onto our
No, that was from a different one. But okay. I, you know, just to try to understand. I mean, it's fascinating to me when you look back at our country. It's really not that old. What are we up to now? 240 years. Mm-hmm. And it's not a very long time in history. And there haven't been too many things that have developed in that time. I guess what I'm saying is it's such a short amount of time to really understand and to see what has come out of that in our country. And some of that, you know, has changed and evolved. There's been amendments to the Constitution and whatnot. But I picked up that book because I really wanted to try to get into the heads of these guys and understand, yes, we have the Constitution and you have constitutional scholars, of which I am not, but people who dissect that document, know its origins, know the references to English rule and everything else, and to how some of these laws came to be. But then, you know, to try to get in the heads of the people who wrote it to understand really what their motivations were. And they do elaborate quite a bit on all of the contents of that document. So it's a fascinating read. What I was hoping to get out of it was some type of enlightenment to say, you know, there really was a valid reason of why we do things the way we do it. And in several cases, I came away kind of at a loss. Like, you know, I can see why they thought the way they thought back at that time, but in many cases, I felt that it's just not relevant anymore. But one of the things that's in there is the Supreme Court justices, and it's in there back then that they would serve a term for life. And, you know, that's not something that came to be at a later date. That was in there from the beginning. So the only thing I can think of is that people didn't live as long back then.
I was just going to say life was shorter.
Yeah.
Life was shorter. And I think that's the truth. I mean, I don't think any one of them could envision a Supreme Court justice at 87.
I know.
Still handing down life and death decisions. So, yeah, I think there's a lot. You know, I'm not a constitutional
scholar.
So I don't study it or anything. I mean, I think just the common sense, I think we have to understand that there's a lot of things that they couldn't foresee. They weren't prescient in any way. And I think the only process to change anything in the Constitution is an amendment. So that's a pretty unwieldy, almost impossible thing to do at this stage of the game. So we sort of need to work within it now. I will say that our current president doesn't give a shit about the Constitution. He couldn't care less. He's never read it.
It's not the only one.
Not the only president.
He's not the only president that doesn't give a shit about it.
He's the only president that's president right now.
So let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so we got to touch this because it'll be a week before anybody hears this. So, but So he was asked straight out if he's going to promote a peaceful transfer of power, if that is called for, if he loses the election. And that is a constitutional requirement. And he basically just said, look, I'm not guaranteeing anything.
Why are you saying in addition to the accepting the results comment?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's, I don't know what you just said.
Are you speaking to the fact of just the transfer of power? Meaning, I mean, I know you really, yeah, wouldn't, they I think, some straight, wouldn't you agree with that? I know you want to see him carried out in shackles. Come on. Well, you want to see it.
I don't want to say anything that's going to get
the authorities on you.
Secret Service. Yeah. Coming to my door. So I'm just going to say,
but didn't the Republicans already come out and say,
listen, every presidential candidate that has lost an election in modern times has made a concession speech when it becomes apparent they've lost.
He will, if that time comes, of course.
Well,
he will.
I mean, here's the thing. It's probably not going to happen that night. So that's okay. If he doesn't make a concession speech by the end of viewing hours on November 3rd or the 4th, you know, November 4th, the morning of, that's okay. But, you know, when it becomes apparent, and I'm pretty sure it will, that he's lost, I'm not expecting him to make any kind of concession speech that's in line with any of the very, typically the presidential candidates that have lost elections over the last 50 years have made the most gracious speech of their political life. And during the most, maybe the most difficult time in their political career, they've all found it within themselves to call on their supporters to support the new president and all of that. He isn't going to do that.
Trust I don't think he'll have to do it.
Well, I get that, but
well, let me put you at ease. Don't worry. The Republicans have already said, hey, that's just posturing here. That's his defense mechanism. But we will assure you that there will be a peaceful transfer should that become necessary. Come on.
Trump?
No, the Republicans have said that.
They're lying pieces of shit.
Oh, fuck. Like your party's any better. Huh? Aren't they all?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess it's a matter of degree. So, you know, I'll give you this. Out of 100, Democrats are running about 50, and Republican senators are running 110%. So I'll give you that much.
On the bullshit factor?
Yeah, do not think that I think all Democratic politicians are heaven sent or righteous, but there is certainly a difference in the absolute. I mean, you know, Travis, I don't know. I mean, you've been watching this as long as I have, and you've seen everything that's happened in the Republican controlled Senate over the last 4 years.
Well, no.
Is there any possible way that you can say you're not disgusted with how they have performed?
Is there any possible way I can't say? Was that a double negative?
Is there any possible way you can say you are not thoroughly disgusted by the way that
I'm turned off by all of it? I'm turned off by all of it. I'm disgusted with all politics. Let's set the record straight for anybody tuning in specifically to this episode. I'm not a Republican. I'm a registered independent. I'm an independent thinker. I think for myself, and I didn't vote for Trump. But I wish, if you really want to know what I wish that there was better choices. This is fucking ridiculous.
But we're going to have to worry about better choices on a future election. Right now, there's only one choice, and that's get Trump out.
And here's what I wish, because this is within, here's the reality. This is within your party's control. We have Trump. We know who he is. If he is as maniacal and corrupt as you and others say that he is, the only alternative that's within our control is for the Democrats to put up a candidate that can survive and will be around for 4 years, and for a party to not go so left that all of their fucking ideas are the complete opposite of where this country should go. So that's the reality. That's within our control. And if they did that, if they put up somebody who's a moderate and not talking about these crazy ideas, I don't think this country needs a great reset. If anything, if we need to get Trump out, then let's get Trump out. But we don't need to get Trump out because the entire country needs to be turned upside down. And that's where you guys are going, and it's fucking crazy.
I have no particular, you know, argument with any of that.
Number two on the list. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. I would like to see, you know, another scenario that would work for me is Trump wins. He stays in. Somehow he magically
delicious.
Yeah. Oh, yuck. And he wins the Electoral College. But we flip the Senate. That would be perfect. Because then he would be impeached. He would be convicted. He would be expelled.
You guys tried that already.
And then he would be in prison. Well, yeah, we tried it with a Republican controlled Senate. If we flip the Senate and we have the House, then we simply impeach him, try him, and convict him, and get him the fuck out. And that's the end of that. Then he really is taken out.
And you would love nothing more.
Right. And then we can start working on Pence and take that homophobic motherfucker.
I think that's called a coup.
Yeah, whatever. It's totally the way it works.
So, I think you're dreaming, my friend.
Well, I mean, you got to have dreams. You got to have goals.
You also have to think. You have to use your head.
I don't care. Huh?
Nothing. Go.
I don't care how it comes about. I just want this reign of terror. This asshole to stop.
I love how affected you are by this. It's great.
Yeah, I am affected. It's so sad how many, you know, the thing is, like, so a lot of people wanted to see, and I think you were one of them, okay? Not that you supported Trump, but in general, you would like to see many forms in politics abolished, right? And I think that I can understand that viewpoint. And I think a lot of people that did vote for Trump thought that is what he would do.
Yeah, drain the swamp, right?
Yep. And then but I think they also thought that the Republican Senate would keep him in check. And instead, they decided to abdicate all their responsibilities as a check and balance. Just say, fuck it. It doesn't appear that a single one of them give a shit less about the oaths they took to be senators. And that's why I'm so angry.
Well, that problem is not unique to the Republicans, and that's a fact.
But it is applicable to the current crop in the Senate. So whether it's been applicable to other people at other times or not, I don't care. But for this group of Republican senators, they have let Trump go crazy, right? He has no check on him whatsoever. So, you know, I'm going to stop short of going down the whole authoritarian, you know, road about him. I think we all know his tendencies. You know, he would be a dictator if he could. That's
listen, you know, here's what I'll say. If any of that is true, the fact is that the other side is just as guilty with some of this bullshit, you know, Marxist shit they're trying to pull off.
You can say that when it happens, but that hasn't happened.
Let's fucking hope not.
You've never seen anything like this on the Democratic side of politics. Never. Nobody has. Nobody's ever seen anything like this for 4 years with this Senate. I mean, really, you could just take all these senators, line them up, and march them out. It would be fine.
Hey, I have two words for you.
What?
Republica and Democratica.
You know, do we need a quick explanation on what that is for any newcomers?
Let's leave it at that, my friend. I think we've had enough for today.
Okay.
We'll let you calm down a little bit.
All right.
It's been fun as always.
Okay.
All right, dude. I'll catch you.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye, everybody.